Introduction into Genomics of Multifactorial Disease, a lecture from the project Genomics in Medicine. In this audio lecture, we will focus on complex diseases or multifactorial diseases, as follows from the title. What are those diseases? Well, complex or multifactorial condition is such a condition that, apart from having a genomic component or hereditary component, it also possesses an equally strong or at least substantial environmental component. In other words, it means that apart from our genes or apart from the genes of the carrier, the environment plays a significant role in the final manifestation of the disease. Typical examples of complex disease include conditions such as atherosclerosis, diabetes, obesity, various types of cancer, multiple sclerosis, autism, Alzheimer's disease, alcoholism, or even drug abuse. Of course, not only real diseases or medical conditions fall into this category, also perfectly physiological human traits such as intelligence quotient, the IQ, or let's say the human height would be both the perfect examples of multifactorial traits. Of course, if one tries to dissect in detail the genomic, the hereditary component of such multifactorial traits, he or she will be faced with many hurdles. These hurdles are not the topic of this lecture. Rather, I would like to give an outline of the possibilities of the approaches to dissect the genomic component. Historically speaking, the earliest approach was the so-called candidate gene approach. These were the early days of complex trait genetics. That means we are now in mid-1980s. And the candidate gene approach was a very logical step to take at that time. Our physiological knowledge of many of those diseases was by far better than our knowledge of genetics of those diseases. So the scientists, the geneticists, tried to capitalize on that knowledge, and they selected the genes to be tested by their physiological or clinical relevance. So if we are talking about a condition like diabetes type 2, of course one of the possible candidate genes to be tested is, let's say, the insulin gene or the gene of insulin receptor, which was known to be very much involved in the physiology of insulin sensitivity of the peripheral tissues and indeed in the pathogenesis of diabetes on the physiological level. Most of the candidate gene studies follow the concept of a case control study of genetic association, meaning that two groups of subjects needed to be gathered, one called controls and one called cases. It follows that the cases were the people showing or manifesting or carrying the trait of interest, mostly in the medical genetics, meaning having the disease of interest, whereas the control group did not have that trait. Of course, a very careful selection must have been made to prevent the confounding factors. So the two groups should be almost perfectly matched. apart from the disease. So there has to be the same number of men and women, the same representation of different ethnic groups, hopefully no stratification as far as the age is concerned, medication, and all the other parameters should be as close as possible in the two groups, because what follows is that then the candidate gene or the candidate variation in the DNA was typed using molecular genetics approach in both groups, and then the frequencies of the alleles and the genotypes of the candidate gene were compared in the case and control groups. In case that, using an appropriate statistical model, the frequency of a certain genotype was statistically significantly higher or lower in group of cases, this particular variation could be assumed as a candidate variation affecting to some extent the manifestation of the studied disease. So again, two groups, cases, controls, as alike as possible, except the trait of interest, except the disease, typed all for the same variation in DNA, and then compared by statistics whether the frequency and the distribution of genotypes is similar or dissimilar in the two groups. In case it is similar, this variation would be proclaimed as not being associated to the disease. Although using the candidate gene and gene association approach was to some extent successful, it had several inherent limitations. Apart from the statistical ones I just mentioned, because it's very hard to collect robust sample well matched for a given disease, but the other inherent problem of the candidate gene approach is that using this approach does not allow one to truly discover new variation, new gene, so to say, for a disease. So unless it was previously premeditated that it could play a role given its physiological relevance. So unless you could guess or presume from physiology that this gene is or could be important, you couldn't substantiate its use in the candidate gene study. What followed from about late 80s or early 1990s was the introduction of the linkage analysis. Linkage analysis, in short, meaning following a segregation of a certain trait or disposition for a trait and a co-segregation of a genetic marker. If I say segregation, it automatically means we need to have families, and for linkage ideally multi-generational families, although this is not a necessity for linkage study. Trios, parents and children are perfectly okay as well. So what do we look for in linkage analysis is we follow the disease through the family, and at the same time we type many markers, genetic markers, across the whole genome, not necessarily markers that are lying inside a gene, and definitely not only those that are lying inside the genes of our interest, but we are trying to spread the markers as evenly as possible. And those are usually the microsatellite markers. Remember, the microsatellites are the stretches of repeats, usually a double letter, double nucleotide repeats or triple nucleotide repeats. And we are following how some of these markers are behaving or traveling through the families in a similar way as the disease does. So in this approach, we are not pushing for our genes of interest. We are asking what region of genome is somehow segregating together with the disposition for the disease. So what do we do is, again, by statistical methods beyond this presentation, we look for the best marker or markers that follow the disease or the trait through the pedigrees, and then we can proclaim the region of the genome that could be unfortunately pretty wide in, let's say, dozens of megabases as being linked to the disease of interest. So this is also the complication of this linkage approach, meaning that you need first to have enough families carrying the trait, ideally multi-generational families, which for rare diseases could be a complicated task. But even if you have a robust set of families, still, given your marker density, you could end up with a reasonably big chunk of genome being linked to the disease, which could carry tens or hundreds of genes. So what the paradigm that was followed in the 1990s was actually a combination of the linkage and association. First, there were linkage studies roughly pointing to a region of a genome, and if there were many studies by different groups in different sets of families pointing to the same region of genome within the same disease, then the association studies called candidate gene studies followed, but only focusing on the genes within the region previously identified as being linked. So first we had, let's say, a spot on chromosome 1 having 50 genes. Then the scientist, let's say it was atherosclerosis, then the scientist looked what the genes are present in that part of the genome, and let's say there, if there was a gene that could be physiologically linked to atherosclerosis, let's say a apolipoprotein of a kind, then of course it would be a prime candidate for an association study which would follow. Nowadays both methods are still being used, however the association analysis is almost not performed with the candidate genes anymore. But it had its revival because of the technological progress that has been made, especially in the field of DNA arrays, microarrays, which are able to capture or to measure variation in hundreds of thousands of single nucleotide polymorphisms at once in one sample. So the concept remains the same. We still have our controls and cases, but by carrying the genome-wide association study, we compare not one or five, but let's say 1 million of variations. Whether these new endeavors will be successful depends also on the correctness of the underlying hypothesis, which is the so-called common disease, common variant hypothesis. This hypothesis simply states that common genetic diseases are due to common polymorphisms. It means that because the diseases like obesity, diabetes, etc., etc., are so prevalent, it means that people that have those diseases, are suffering from them, will share some kind of genetic variation. And because there is so many hundreds of millions of diabetics on Earth right now, it means that these people will have something in common genetically. The opposite hypothesis is the genetic heterogeneity hypothesis that says basically that no, it's not common, but every one of those have certain very strong but very rare variation that makes him sick. There is evidence for both of these hypotheses, however, the common disease, common variant is still not disproved as well as the other one. So this is an ongoing scientific discussion. So to wrap it up, basically what we have as an analysis of a genetic component of complex diseases is association, whether it is a candidate gene study or genome-wide association study, and we have linkage in families or combination of both methods. Thank you for your attention.